Blog Talk Radio.
The studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Clift and Robin. You can join Clift and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Clift and Robin.
And good morning. It's Saturday, February 27, 2010, and we got a lot of interesting things to talk about today. Today's topic is the Credit Card Accountability and Responsibility Disclosure Act of 2009 that went into effect just recently. But first, Cliff has an update on the hurricane or earthquake in Haiti. Good morning, Cliff.
Actually, it's not the earthquake in Haiti. As a matter of fact, in this particular instance, it's a new earthquake, a brand new earthquake that happened last night. In Chile, and this earthquake is an 8.8. And in this particular case, I've been watching the people, and they say that this earthquake was 800 times worse than the one in Haiti. 800 times worse than the one in Haiti.
Wow.
But in this particular case, fortunately, it did actually occur off the coast and under the water, and I say fortunately, it turns out that may not be fortunate, but at least it gets the earthquake 70 miles away from Chile's major city, Santiago. But the thing that I found quite interesting, and I had no idea about all of this, but Chile is quite prepared, even far more so than the United States, for earthquakes. Their first major earthquake was in 1920. Believe it or not, and since the 1920s, they've had over 50 earthquakes in Chile. And in 1950, they had the world's heaviest or most damaging earthquake at a 9.8 in 1950 or right in there somewhere. And so they've been building earthquake-proof buildings and structures all this time. I mean, their buildings. They did have a couple of buildings that actually did suffer major damage, but they were all actually older than 100 years. I mean, these were old buildings. The steeple fell off of one of their oldest churches, which is really kind of sad because it's been around for hundreds of years. And that's really sad. But then on the same token, 100 years ago, I guess they didn't worry about earthquakes, or didn't know what they were all about or whatever. I don't know. But it is absolutely a major, major thing. On the coast, Chile has like 400 miles of coastline, but their coastline is not beautiful, pristine beaches like it is in other places. And so consequently, they don't have big communities on the coastline. There are lots of small communities and small towns, and they've been building them properly as well. But they're at this particular point, I think last time I heard there was like 130 or 140 or 150, right. Whatever. I don't know what that says. Died. We have no idea, of course, exactly what the total is going to be because we're still in the middle of it. We're still getting, aftershocks going on at this particular point in time.
And as you were saying, the 8.8. Quake. It says here that the quake shook buildings in Argentina's capital. I'm going to pronounce it wrong. I know Buenos Aires, and was felt as far
as Buenos Aires.
Oh, okay, I don't get out much. And was felt as far away as
it's 800 miles away
in Brazil, about 1,800 miles to the east.
1,800 miles.
Correct.
Wow. I heard
2,900 kilometers, depending on how you measure it.
Yeah, really. Well, the thing is now, though, of course, and this is the worry that we've got at the moment is tsunamis. The water is going to make a huge thing because, you know, a 400-mile piece of earth just jumped 10 feet up in the air in a matter of 3 seconds. So that's going to move a lot of water. That's going to move a lot of water. And so now, I guess from what I understand, all of Hawaii is on a tsunami watch. The sirens went off this morning. And so everybody's concerned about a tsunami watch, even as far away as Hawaii, which is a long ways away. Probably won't be much coming back our way because it was so close. It was only like 20 miles off the coast or something like that. So it doesn't have time to build up much of a wave before it hits us on this side of it. But it's going to have lots of time to build a huge wave because they're talking about, I believe, hitting... I've forgotten exactly. It's hitting Hawaii area either 1 or 3 o'clock. I don't remember just exactly which this afternoon. Their time.
Yeah, it says Hawaii could face its largest wave since 1964 starting at 11:19 a.m. or 4:19 Pacific time.
All right, so 4 o'clock, 3 or 4 o'clock. All right.
Correct.
So that's when it is. So I know it's a while from now. But so it takes the water a while to get there. But by the but in all that time, it's still building up velocity. I mean, it's going to hit with a rough one. I mean, that could be really. We hope that it's not going to be nearly as bad. I remember in the 60s years ago when the earthquake from Alaska had its big tsunami effect, and it did make a lot of damage in a lot of places on the coast. And I know. I was actually living in San Francisco Bay Area at that time in San Leandro, and we, a bunch of kids and I, and we were kids back then, I mean, this is a long time ago, and we took off and went down, and we were standing under the Golden Gate Bridge to watch this, and unfortunately, that's probably the worst place in the world we should have been, should the tsunami have actually done what they were talking about it could have done, but in this particular case, it fizzled out, and we didn't get to see anything, and so we were all upset, thank God, because we could have been all dead instead. You know, kids, even at 19 years old, can be stupid, really, really stupid.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's surprising how big this one really is. It says here that waves are likely to hit Asia, Australian, and the New Zealand shores within the next 24 hours.
Oh, yes, absolutely, absolutely, they will. Now, whether they'll be damaging waves or not, I don't think, but they will be hitting, yes, because the whole Atlantic Ocean is going to, I mean, it's going to go from one side to the other. And where's the other side of the Atlantic Ocean? Is that the Pacific, or excuse me, Pacific Ocean? What is the other side of the Pacific Ocean?
Atlantic.
Is that the Atlantic Ocean? I don't know. Anyway, it's going to make a huge, huge impact. And I'm just absolutely, totally impressed with Chile. I've learned more about Chile overnight than I have ever learned. Chile's economy is better than ours right at the moment. They're doing very well. So they're actually talking about the fact that they may not need outside help to fix this. Like you say, there's 100 and some odd people that have actually died in this, and there's nothing anyone can do to help on that because that's actual buildings and things that have collapsed. And what do you do? I mean, you know, they have the people to go in and check and pull anybody out that might still be there. Interestingly enough, of course, see, Chile has a tremendous earthquake disaster team that they keep on hand. The unfortunate part of that is they sent them to Haiti. And so their earthquake disaster preparedness group, a significant amount of them were in Haiti at this time. I think they'll probably bring them back, but they actually help other countries because they have the experience and other countries may not. So they're prepared for all of this. Very few of their buildings have collapsed. There are, I guess, I know of one church. The steeple fell off of this church,
right.
But it's over 100 years old. I mean, it was built before any kind of thing like that. And of course, maybe back in those days, they actually built things better. But it finally did fall down after 50 earthquakes or more that it lived through. And there are some other smaller buildings and buildings outside of the major city of Santiago and Asfalt area that have collapsed. But very little, but there have been a lot of road damage, just a huge amount of road damage and bridges that perhaps the one other, and I don't remember the name of it, they gave the name of this bridge, and it's a name that's like 17 syllables long, and I couldn't pronounce it even if I wanted to, and so I won't. But it fell down and was damaged. So traffic and, is not normal, let's put it that way. When they talk to the people there, traffic, it looks like it's normal in the city as far as traffic is concerned, but there are no buses. There's no public transportation at this point. They did stop the transportation and they did, but the kids are not at school. They're having their summer vacation down there. And so, but the president of Chile, did come on the air and said that they should be back in school on Tuesday. Don't be expecting to get any time off. The kids are going to be going to school on Tuesday.
Yeah, whether your school is there or not.
Really? The thing is, they are there. The news people were talking to this lady who was in an apartment building. She lived on the sixth floor of an apartment building. She had not been outside to assess things other than out on her balcony, because there's no electricity, or there wasn't any electricity. There is now in her building, but there wasn't any electricity. And there's some sort of a water damage, or the sprinklers went off or something. Anyway, there was some reason she couldn't go down the six floors on the stairs, or either that or maybe she just didn't want to. I don't know. But she was living in a 25-story building. She said that it shook enough that things are, she was running around cleaning up glass and things like that. Her dishes are broken and various and sundry things. The television fell on the floor, heaven forbid, and things like that. But she says that the damage in her apartment wasn't nearly as bad, however, as on the top floors. The top floors of a 25-story building were getting a lot more flop around than hers at the sixth. So there was significantly more damage upstairs, but not necessarily any structural damage to the building itself. She says there are places where the plaster has cracked and things like that, but the structure of the building is still fine. They're not going to have to move out. They're not going to have any problems. Once they get things patched up, so to speak, everything is going to be okay. So obviously they know how to build the buildings to withstand all of this and all of this problem. So I'm really very, very impressed with Chile. I don't know that I was ever not impressed with Chile. I knew that it was a prosperous country, but I had no idea how prosperous. So I'm very happy to hear all of this, that they went through it this well. Not happy to hear that it happened, of course. But there are 1,500 Americans living in Chile, and none of them have been hurt. They're all accounted for. No problems at all.
Are you you aware of, did they have any forewarning that this was coming?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think they did. They went on the air with these experts explaining what was happening, and it's the Earth's plates out there. They sort of have had a warning in that this plate is like 400 miles long. And each end of it has already popped up. And so they've had earthquakes at either end of this already that weren't nearly as bad. But then when the center popped up, so 400 miles of this thing raised 10 feet in 3 seconds, 3.5 seconds. People were calling it 3 minutes because it feels like it. When you're in an earthquake, it feels like it's going on forever, and it's not. Actually, it wasn't 3.5 seconds. It was 3.5 minutes. I'm sorry. People were thinking it was a half an hour, but it was quite traumatic, I guess. This lady was talking about being in the doorway. She got up and stood in the doorway and was watching all of this going on around her. And, of course, if you're standing in the doorway and leaning against the doorway, so you're moving at the same time that the building's moving, you don't realize it nearly as much. And so it wasn't as bad, except that she could see things just flying off the shelves and falling on the floor and things like that. So I guess it was quite an experience to live through, and one that you probably don't want to do again. I mean, it's
no, and,
not good.
It looks like, as you were saying,
I've heard.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, that's all right, go ahead. I was going to move to a different thing.
I was just commenting that so far on the news reports that I have on here from the Associated Press, it just says that more than 120 people have died, and that number may raise quickly. But that's, I mean, it's unfortunate that anybody dies, but considerably, considering the size of the earthquake, that's actually a fairly low number.
Oh, it's an unbelievably low number, yes. I mean, to do that and to have the number that low, and I think you're going to find even the injured number is going to be unbelievably low because of the fact that they have been so prepared for so many years. I mean, they've had 50 years of expecting this, and they've also had as many as 50 drills, so to speak, but were actually real earthquakes, but building up to this one. So from 1920 or whatever it was a 9.9, and all the way up to this one, which is an 8.8. They've had varying degrees of badness in between. Six and, you know, a six or seven magnitude earthquake is a huge earthquake. Even here we get upset at things like that. And so, and they just go through them as a matter of routine almost. I mean, it's getting to the point anyway. But maybe this will be the one that's done it, because this, I guess, supposedly has brought that whole fault line up now to the point where it could have another 100 years before it has to do this again. I was going to say something about Haiti. I had heard, and now I don't have this substantiated, I had heard on talk radio, which I listen to once in a while, that Haiti has declared, the government of Haiti has declared the disaster is over in Haiti. And so now, if you want to send something to Haiti to help people or to give away or to whatever, you have to give it to the Haitian government, and they will decide if there is an import tax or whatever, and then pass it along. And I find this just totally unbelievable and totally unacceptable, and I'm going to be a really horrible person and say, you know, at this particular point, they deserve what they get. No wonder Haiti has been the lowest on the totem pole of countries for 100 years. If they're going to act like that, that's just stupidity. I just can't believe it. Just total stupidity.
What's the old saying? Don't
anyway,
forget
I'm,
horse in the mouth.
Well, yeah, especially when they've got billions of dollars. I mean, the United States has collected millions of dollars, I mean, that haven't gotten over there yet. And, of course, I really hope that we stop sending money, because it's just going to, if it's going to go right to their government, you know, we're always talking about straightening the government out and making it more democratic there. Well, all of a sudden, we're just going to start paying the people that are there and not. We're going about this wrong. We've got to start realizing that it is not up to us to change the world. Sorry. It's just not. I mean, we can work at it, and we can proselytize, and we can do whatever we want to, but unless we're prepared to go in and take over the government there, we better keep our mouth shut a little bit and start just backing off. You know, if we all backed off and let them go, maybe they would come around and say, okay, well, we do need your help. I don't know. But
well, if we were showing by example, I mean, that'd be one thing. But my opinion, we still got a long ways to go before we get our act together.
Yeah. And we don't show by example. We go over and try to strong-arm our way into everything, and it's just absurd. Just absurd. The only other thing now I want to talk about that was sort of in the news is San Diego Zoo.
Okay, I just want to bring one point up before we change subjects here, is the Oregon coast. A couple years ago, they were practicing for tsunami warnings, and they have a system in place, which I guess also, besides the sirens, calls you on your cell phone, and they had practice accounts too. But I kind of wonder if that was to happen today, if they would actually know what to do, if they didn't know what the alarms were.
Right. Well, I think on the coast they're doing this on a regular basis. It wasn't just 2 years ago. They do it on a regular basis and get a lot more involved in it, because it could be very disastrous on the coast. I mean, you know, we don't worry too much about it here being 60 miles in, but if you live over there on the coast, they've had enough problems already and been through enough things already that I think they're probably a little more serious about it than we are. And thank God. Of course, again, see, I'm sorry. I'm very, I don't know what the word is, but if you're going to go live there, you better find out where you're living. You better pay attention. You better look and see what kind of disasters are going to be there. I don't live here accidentally, by the way, but I live here because, you know, granted, okay, we have earthquakes, but we haven't had any real major, major, major earthquakes, and there's probably going to be one. But I don't live in a multi-story building, and that's partly why. I don't live in Florida, for example, because they've got hurricanes and things over there. I was going to go to live in and move to Orlando at one time in my life, and I've decided not to. I have actually made decisions, conscious decisions, to live here on the West Coast, and quite on purpose, because there are fewer poisonous bugs, and I hate bugs. There are fewer ravenous animals to eat me. There are less natural disasters to go after me. I mean, I live here because it's an ideal place to live. It isn't because I just happened to come across Washington and Oregon, which is what I'm considering.
Yeah, and like you, I like my position on the food chain.
Yes, there you go. Exactly. Very much so. And it's quite a consideration for me. I lived in California for a while in the Mojave Desert. And I enjoyed it, sort of. I ran a radio station there, and I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed, well, I guess I'm going to rephrase that. I was going to say I enjoyed the people. I enjoyed a lot of the people. There were some of the people there that are quite insane, and I'm sorry, but that's just the case. And I think it's the heat that got to them. It's heat stroke, and they don't know it, but that's part of it. But I didn't ever intend or even ever consider making that a place to live forever or retiring to or anything of that sort, because it's just, I mean, there's snakes that'll kill you, there are bugs that'll kill you, there are plants that'll kill you. I mean, there's just too many things after me in that area. Not to speak of just standing out in the sunshine will kill you there. So it's just, I right after I first got there, I took off and I had to go pick up a tape recording from a casino, which was like 25 miles away, which is no big thing, except that I took off in my car, which did not have air conditioning in it. And by the time I got back, I was about dead. I actually had to sit down on the floor and cool off and sit there for 15 minutes just to recuperate, just for a 1 hour drive, for God's sake. So
wow.
It's just crazy.
Okay, so anyway. you had another item?
Oh, what I was going to talk about was the whale. This is in the San Diego Zoo, and I want to get my opinion across as to what to do about this whale. I don't know if you're familiar with the story, but basically a whale killed a lady while a bunch of people were watching. It's Tilikum, the killer whale. It's a killer whale, for God's sakes. I mean, we call them killer whales for a reason, I would think. But the point is, this one has been in captivity for a long time. This one had already killed two people when they put it in this pool, or whatever you want to call it, at the San Diego Zoo, and they were showing him off, and the trainer was standing there feeding him and petting him and all this kind of thing in front of people when he grabbed her by the hair, pulled her into the water, and unfortunately she died. But this was the third time he had done something of this sort, and now they're wanting to know what to do with him. Well, you know, to my opinion, this is a huge animal, and we're keeping him in this tiny little pen. Comparatively, I mean, to us it's huge, it's a huge pool, but to him it's like being locked in the closet or something,
right?
You know, with nobody around, and whales are very family oriented, or people or whale oriented, and I personally believe we need to set him free. I mean, we need to put him out there, and granted we've had him in captivity so long that he may not be able to get along. It is up to us to put him out there, and then if he needs to be fed, we need to go out and do that. We need to look after him until he can take care of himself, but we need to turn him loose and put him out there and give him his freedom. I mean, that's the least we can do. And I granted, I understand that he has sired many whales, I guess, and he's made lots of money for us, and that should not be the consideration. I mean, that's just all there is to it. We need to give him his freedom. That's just my opinion.
Well,
I just thought
you, you make a very, very valid point. I mean, he's used to roaming the oceans, you know, again, for the size of the whale, but it's just like putting a mouse in a small little box. I mean, after a while, you know, they're just going to go crazy. Same thing with taking a person in, from the country who's used to wide open spaces and bringing them into the city.
Well, how long do you think a person, a human being, would last locked in a closet?
Not very long.
They get really, really weird after a very short period of time. And this guy's been, I think, in the closet, so to speak, for like 50 years. I mean, it's been a long time. I'm not sure how long. Maybe it's just 20 years. But even 20 years, you lock a human being in a closet for a year, and they're going to go bonkers.
Right.
And so, you know, this is just insane. I mean, we either need to, well, we need to relook at how we're taking care of our whales, because they are a huge, huge animal. And I don't disagree that we should perhaps show them off. And if they're happy in there, that's fine. We got a lot of dolphins that we do things like that with, and they seem to be happy and don't seem to be too upset. But this one had already had a reputation of being unhappy. And, you know, hello, wake up, pay attention.
Well, and how do you tell when a whale or a dolphin is happy or not? I mean, it's not that they
smile.
Well,
first of all, he's killed two people.
Well, that'd be
that would sort of indicate to me he's a little unhappy.
Yeah.
You know, sorry, but
I think there might be a problem here.
Yeah. Plus the fact, from what I understand, and I listen to the talk shows at night, and I never sleep, by the way. But anyway, there was a lot of talk about the fact that the day before this took place, all of the whales were acting funny. They were running around and just didn't act right and weren't paying attention and weren't minding their trainers and on and on and on, all of them. That would be, you know, the first indication that you close things down and find out what's going on. But they didn't. They just kept on going, and the next day it's what happened. So, you know.
Well, I wonder if this could link to the Tsami.
That's exactly what I knew you were going. That's exactly where I knew you were going. Maybe they knew that this earthquake was coming. Oh, that's what you were writing.
Yeah.
Okay, Candy was writing all this down. Oh, okay. She keeps up on this stuff too, and that's what she wrote down. Now, first of all, I can't see, but second of all, it says quake and Chile, a whale at SeaWorld in San Diego. And yes, so there you go. Maybe that's exactly. Maybe they knew, because animals sense all these things.
Right.
And maybe they knew that this was coming up, and we got to learn how to talk to the animals so they can tell us.
Well, I know that the year that I was living on the farm, when the cattle bunch up in one corner really tight, that we're due for a storm, and most of the time they were right.
A lot more often than we are. Yes.
Yeah.
That's a matter of fact.
And they don't have any fancy charts and graphs and anything else to, you know. We got a storm coming off the East Coast today, and with a big E flying across the...
I think what they have is the world's most elaborate computer. It's called their brains, and they're connected to all the other animals.
Okay, I can make a comment about that.
I know you could. That was partly why I said it. But anyway... Yes. Okay. Sorry. That's it. It's just, but I really feel that we need to do something about this whale, and they haven't been putting forth any logical moves as far as I've been hearing. So I thought I would give them my opinion, and they can tune in and find out. And if anybody's listening and wants to call somebody, do so. Let's get a whole organization set up here so we can get this poor whale out in his own environment and happy again.
And speaking of opinion, how can people express their opinions on the show today, Cliff?
I'm going to let you tell them because I don't have that page up.
Okay. If you'd like to If you'd like to comment or express your opinion, good or bad, and just keep it clean, you can call us right now at area code 646-721-9887. You can send us an email at talk@krbnradio.com. You can join us in the chat room. We got a couple people there right now. Welcome. At www.blogtalkradio.com/KRBN. And we do have a webpage, which is krbnradio.com.
Fantastic. And if they're in the chat room, why aren't they talking to us? Are they? Or are you talking to them? Or you know, tell them to call us. And, you know, let us know what's going on. We'd like to hear from them. So, but we also definitely enjoy having you in the chat room, too.
Absolutely.
I've got the page up now, so 646-721-9887. 646-721-9887. You know, you were talking about whether we should have an 800 number or not, but, you know, nowadays, I don't know that it's really that necessary. Everybody's got all these programs on their phones now that allow you unlimited long distance on landlines, or you have cell phones and you got unlimited long distance. And it's so, I don't know if we need an 800 number or not. We'll have to consider that and review that some more and see what we need to do. Anyway, so, yeah, we would really love to hear from somebody, because there's got to be somebody with an opinion. And like I say, let's help this whale, Tillicum. Tilly, they call the whale, which is interesting. And
Chili and Chili. Well, anyway.
No, it's not in Chili.
Chili and Chili.
It's in San Diego. Maybe we send him to Chili. He might
there
like
you
it.
Go. Lamp oil.
No.
Anyway.
Oh. That's bad. That's really, really bad. Oh, God. Okay, so much for that.
I'm going back to my room now.
Yes. Hello, this is Peter calling. Anyway.
Anyway, today's topic, which is the... You put my foot in my mouth. No. Today's topic, which is the Credit Card Accountability, Responsibility, and Disclosure Act of 2009, or CARD, which is the acronym, which was put together, that acronym was put together by our government. Anyways, it was a federal law that was passed by Congress and signed by Obama on May 22, 2009. And it's basically a comprehensive credit card reform act, which is supposedly to help protect consumers from fraudulent or unscrupulous practices from credit card companies. And I have a quick story to read about that. This is from the Wall Street Journal, February 26, 2010. I have my own little story to follow that. Anyway, the story goes, at the end of the last year, the interest rate on Susan's business card from Chase was about 13%, a bit high, she thought, but her law firm in Santa Barbara, California, was busy. Then in July, when business slowed, Susan began to carry a balance. Her interest rate climbed to 27.9%. When she called a customer service representative, she was told that the hike reflected risk in the overall market. She said that this is, or the representative said that this has nothing to do with anything that they've done wrong. You just raise the interest rate because you legally can. And they replied, yes, I wouldn't put it that way, but yes, that's what we did. And of course, Susan was furious, decided to pay off the card's balance and discontinue it. My own story is, I had a credit score of 750, excuse me, and it was through KeyBank, but it was a Chase card. My interest rate was 7%. Suddenly, on one bill, I noticed that it jumped up to 17%. So I called them and said, you know, was it something that I did? Did I miss a payment? Did I not pay enough? What happened? And they said, well, no, it wasn't you. It's just the cost of doing business. Well, that 10% increase in my overall interest rate upped my minimum payment by $50 a month. And they refused to do anything about it. A lot of times they'll come down on the interest rates if you corner them on it. But in this case, no. And I think that was in preparation for the CARD Act to try and get the interest rates as high as possible.
Yeah, because although they can do taxes retroactive, maybe they can't do interest rates retroactive or something. I mean, that's a little disturbing. But see, there is a real simple answer to all of this.
Yes.
No credit. Human beings, just regular old everyday purchases, should not be on a credit card, period. The only time there should be any credit allowed is if you're making a major, major purchase, and that's a car or a house or perhaps a business. And then I feel personally that the owner of that car, house, or business should be carrying the credit, not a credit card company or a bank. And if you can't do that, then you don't get it. Simple as that.
Well, where I disagree
with everybody,
you.
See, not everybody can live on somebody else's money. Not
right.
Everybody can live on somebody else's money. Somebody has to have the money, and then if they decide to do whatever they want to with it, you can't talk about it. You can't get upset about it because you are the one who went there. And this business but I entered into a contract. Did you read all the words in that contract?
Well, what's interesting is, yeah, I do read that type of stuff because I don't have a life. Part of the contractual agreement is if you are late with any bill, whether it's a credit card company, utility bill, or any other bill, that the credit card companies have the right to increase your interest rate, whether it affects them
right.
directly or not.
Right.
And what other
right.
contract can you sign into where the company can just say, okay, we're going to change your agreement. You got 30 days to say that you don't want to agree to this agreement, but if you do that, well, you just got to pay off your balances. So, and how many people can do that? But it's kind of a one-sided thing when you think about it, you know, because I can't.
Okay, first words out of your mouth in this last statement was, what other kind of a contract are you signed that has this? And my comment would be all of them.
You've actually had other contracts that you got into, like you purchase a car and you agree to pay $300 a month for the next 5 or 6 years, and they're going to come to you in the middle of that and say, okay, we want to change our arrangement now.
No, but what the rules do is if you are late on a payment or miss a payment, they will add a fine to that,
and
sometimes $50, $60.
That's true.
They don't raise your interest rate, no, but they add a fine to that you have to pay.
And who is this talking?
Mimi.
Okay. Welcome to the show, Mimi.
Sorry. No, they do not. They do not raise your interest rate, but they do penalize you.
In a lot of instances, that's because now the new law says you can't do this or you can't do that, so they find a different way to do it, and
right.
they will always do that. So all of these laws that we're talking about putting together are just sort of moot point. They'll find a way around them. That's just all there is to it. These people are going to make their money, which is why, again, I say, and I'm sorry, but I'm really callous, because if you don't want to play the game, then don't – I mean, if you don't want to pay the piper, so to speak, then don't play the game, because, you know, I do not have credit, and I very quite on purpose do not have credit. I buy my cars for cash, and you can tell when you look at them, and I don't own a house, so I do live in an apartment where I have signed a contract on that. And interestingly enough, by the way, signing that contract means virtually nothing. I've lived here for 10 years, and the house has been sold twice in the time that I live here, so my contract is virtually worthless, I'm sure. So
well,
in this particular
Mimi,
case, all I worry about is they haven't raised the rent.
Well, Mimi makes a good point. I mean, if you're late on your payments, for example, then, yeah, you're defaulting, or actually in your contract, it does mention what the penalties are for being late, but If you make your payments on time every month, you're never late. In fact, like what I normally do, I make more than the minimum payments. Why should the company now decide that, okay, we're going to, under this agreement we have with you, even though you're not a variable rate, so to speak, well, we're now going to come in and say, all right, I'm going to up your interest by 10%, even though you've been a perfectly good customer during all this time. Why should they punish you?
Well, see, but I can see where I can see why just what you just said, you have not been a perfectly good customer all this time. You said you pay more. If you pay things off ahead of time, quite often you'll be given a fine, so to speak, or a fee, because they're not making the amount of money on you that they expected to make. And if all of a sudden, for some reason or other, they're not making the money on you that they expected, then they can change the rule.
That is true, too.
That's probably in the contract there, too.
Right. Well, now under some of the new regulations that went into effect, speaking of which, it says that now the card issuers generally must now give the card holders at least 45 days notice of significant changes to the terms of their cards, which includes interest rate increases and also certain fees like annual or late fees. Unfortunately, of course, if you decide you do not like it, you are given a short period to pay off your balance. There's also a grace period on interest rates. For the first year after you open an account, your credit card company cannot generally increase your interest rate, at least for 12 months, which I've had that happen before. One account, which is it's called a Yahoo card, which, again, I think was through Chase or Citibank. I can't remember. It was supposed to be a flat rate, and it didn't take too long before they made it a variable.
That's why you don't have credit cards.
One of the other ones that I think is really good.
Who agrees with me.
I don't have credit cards. I will not have a credit card. Now, I have bought cars on payment, so I have good credit. And then when I did not need it for my work anymore, I put it in the Auto Trader and sold it. So I got what I wanted out of it, and it showed that I made my payments. I was never late. So I've got good credit. But will I get a credit card? Not on your life. Not on your life will I get a credit card. I've had one once.
Good girl.
I charged up $2,500 on it, which isn't not that much comparable to what some people do, and scared the heck out of myself. And I did.
Well,
it really scared me. And I paid it off, and I cut it up, and I have never had a credit card since.
Right.
Yeah, the downside is what do you do like a couple years ago, for example, our heat pump died and had to be replaced, and that was a $3,200 bill. That had to go on the credit card because I didn't have the cash for that. And we have
I keep it in the bank. What I would pay for my credit card, I put into a savings account.
Now, that's not a bad idea.
Well, because it not only does it accomplishes two things. First of all, it keeps the cash there for emergencies. Second of all, instead of you paying them the interest, it pays you the interest. Although in a bank, that's such a minuscule little piddly-ass amount that it doesn't make much difference, but still, it's there.
Well, and that's a good point. If you can do that, a couple
if you can make
you do that.
Card,
period.
If you can make payments on a credit card, you
exactly.
can make payments to a savings account.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
I hate to say that.
Not if.
Because every payday when I get paid, and it's not much because I only work part time, but I take $20 and I put it in my savings account. So that
right.
means. I'm putting, what, $40 a month in? Okay, that's not a large amount. If I could put more in, I would. But I put $20 in, and it's come in handy several times.
Well, one of the other changes I was going to mention that I do agree with, and kind of similar along the line of being responsible, I feel, is the over-limit fees. There's now restrictions on those that unless you agree specifically with a credit card company, in other words, you request it, you will be charged an over-limit fee. Otherwise, and here's why I agree with this law, is that if you don't have the money and you're going to charge more than your credit line, they'll deny your charge.
Right.
That's
yeah.
a good thing.
And I think
then that's what they should do.
Agreed.
Isn't that what they should do?
Yes, because a lot of people went over their credit limit.
I mean, it can happen if you're not keeping track of your balance, but then again, that's just being financially irresponsible, in my opinion.
In my opinion, having the card is being financially irresponsible.
Well, I have a friend that had $60,000 in credit card debt. $60,000. I about died.
Yep.
And they had to file bankruptcy. Now, to me, that's not very responsible. So her husband and I were talking about it, and I said, so what did you say? He says, I just told her not to do it again. I thought, oh, my gosh, I'd have killed her.
Yeah.
And he had no clue, which I think's not good either. I think you should pay attention to where your money goes. You know, whether you're married or not, you should both be included in where the money's going, which a lot of partners make mistakes of not knowing what their partner's spending. But on the other hand, $60,000 in credit card debt is not responsible.
And speaking of included, with 14 minutes left in the show, if you'd like to be included in this conversation, 646-721-9887, or join us in the chat room. We're more than happy to hear from you and have you chime in on this or any other topic that you feel is worth discussing.
Nobody in the chat room has come up with a comment?
Nope, they're just listening.
At least they're just talking to each other or something? Okay. Anyway, you know, I agree with you, Mimi, that this business about the – because that's what happened to me, sort of. I had credit cards when I was young, and, of course, everybody tells you have to build up your credit, and they give you all the reason why and all this thing. So I had good credit, and I had about $25,000 worth of credit built up on several credit cards and a contract and this, that, and the other. Anyway, what happened is through no fault of my own, actually it was a boss of mine who was afraid that I was going to take his job, and so without any warning whatsoever, he fired me. And so I'm without a job. And so at that particular point, of course, life got rather interesting. And so I did pay, like you say, everything off and have never even considered having a card again.
No.
But then I, unlike you, I'm a bullheaded, pig-headed idiot. And so what I did is I actually destroyed my credit because later on, well, there were two companies of all the companies that I had that refused my solution of how to pay it off.
Yeah.
I wrote to all of them and told them I'm going to pay you each this amount of money until I get this much more money, and I'll pay you this more. And I lined it all out exactly what I was going to do until it was paid off. But two companies said, no, we want it all now. So I said, okay, tough. And so I just told them to go to hell, so to speak, and didn't do anything with it. And I paid off the others and didn't pay anything on theirs, by the way.
Yeah.
And then of all the stupid things, so that right there gives me a bad credit, but of all the stupid things, the one credit card company that I didn't pay that told me, no, they want it all now, 5 years later sent me a card. And that made me mad. I mean, that just made me furious. And so I went out and I charged $50 on the card and then cut it up and threw it away and ignored them. And so that didn't help my credit either, I'm sure.
No, we do things sometimes we shouldn't.
Well, and speaking of youthful, so to speak, one of the other things in my notes here is when you're a student and you start doing the financial aid thing, you start getting credit card offers in the mail like crazy. One of the other provisions that they have here is that if you're under the age of 21, you'll either need a co-signer or evidence now that you have enough income to make the monthly payments. And I think that's a really good idea because especially if you're young and you start getting these offers, you know, you're pre-approved, blah, blah, blah. It's really tempting to get yourself into trouble right at the beginning. I mean, you've already got student loans you're going to have to pay for the next 100 years.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say I used to work at a salon and I had college students for clients. And Robin's right. When you're going in to pay your funds and stuff, there's credit card people there offering you credit cards. And a lot of my students that I performed services on were in debt, very far in debt.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, the college that they go to, mostly people with money or parents with money send their kids there. I won't mention the college. I'm sure you know what it is. And so I had one client, for instance, she didn't like her car. She wanted her dad to buy her a new car. Well, he gave her a choice. I pay off your credit card debt and you drive the car you've got, or you're stuck with the credit card debt and I'll buy you a new car. What do you want? Well, she chose credit card debt, and he paid off the credit card debt, and she had to drive her old car. But
oh, I thought you were going to say she went out and bought a new car with the credit card.
No, she did not. And hopefully, I don't know her anymore, but hopefully that taught her a lesson and she didn't go out and charge. I mean, they charge things like food and, just going out to the bar, buying clothes they didn't need. And you'd be surprised at these universities when they move out, and they're done for the summer. All the things that they've charged up that they leave behind because they have no room to take it with them. But
well, I take advantage of that. That's how I get by without a credit card. I wait until the end of the year and go buy all the VCRs and televisions and stereos and things for almost nothing and computers. Some of them my parents have bought. Yeah.
It's just amazing. I'm sure you're not going to buy the clothes, but I'm seeing, they've got designer clothes.
Only because I don't fit.
Out the windows.
Yeah.
I can't fathom it personally.
Well, it's just real simple, and I have been very, very, very upset at our government of how they handled this financial crisis that we just went through, because the first thing they did was go out and tell everybody, okay, now go out and buy on credit. Now go out and start running up your credit. Now do, and this is just totally insane. These businesses, and I get really furious at this, so forgive me, but these businesses who say, well, I can't exist without credit. I can't pay my people unless I borrow the money. Bullshit. I'm sorry, this is cable TV. So anyway, to heck with that. If you can't pay them, then do something to either let them go or do something to change your financial situation so that you can pay them. Simple
as that. Exactly.
It can't be done. If you can't pay them, then you shouldn't be in business.
Well, on a catch 22 level, when I was looking into incorporating my business, I found a thing called a hoarding law, which if you're a business and you have more than $250,000 in savings, you're subject to an extra tax on that money.
Now that's we've got to get rid of. That's insane. That's just totally
insane.
Insane.
That promotes you to have a credit card and not have money in the bank.
Well, of course, that's what they're doing. The federal government is doing that. And, the reason is for it, real simple. The banks, we think the federal government bailed out the banks. Baloney. The federal government did only what the banks told them to do. That's all there is to it.
And we got you
just
did
what the banks. Yeah.
Yeah. And should we have let AIG fail?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Every company, if they can't make their own way, should fail. I mean, that's the only way. That's what's going to bring our entire government and our entire country down, is thinking that we should be able to do a better. That the government should do a better job of it than letting them the actual consequences. I mean, that's back to the business. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, besides that, if they fail, maybe they will learn, to manage their money better and to take care of
somebody will pick
better.
Up the slack.
Yeah.
Somebody will pick up the slack, simple as that, because there's money in it, obviously. And so consequently, somebody or someone or something will pick up the slack. But this business, it's all going back to the fact that we don't want to take responsibility for ourselves. We want the government to do it for us, or someone, either government or God or somebody is supposed to do it for us. You're going to have to start taking care of yourself. And, this business about giving these kids in college credit, why the hell isn't the college teaching them how to handle it? Why isn't the college warning them? Why isn't the college doing their job? I mean, they're there to teach our children, and they aren't doing it. They've decided to teach whatever they want to teach,
Well, they teach them
this. I watch, you know what really gets to me? I watch this, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? And some of the stuff that they're teaching these fifth graders is stupid. Some of the stuff they're teaching these fifth graders is insane. There's no reason, I'm going to get in big trouble with this, but there is no reason that a fifth grader should know who the president of Argentina was in 1826.
Yeah, exactly.
And, there's no reason for a fifth grader to know that, or a tenth grader, or me.
Yeah, I could care less.
I mean, it's just, and you can't give me a logical reason why they should know these things. You know, knowing our history might be one thing, but they're going far past that and getting totally absurd about the things that they're teaching kids, only because they want to do something that the parents don't understand, I think, so that they have more control and they can make more money. But we've got to work on our education system, especially our higher education system.
Well, and that brings up another point, too, is economics. I don't recall, of course, it's been ages ago since I was in school, I don't recall them even talking about economics and balancing the books, et cetera.
Me either.
Yeah, that's well, you can take classes,
right,
specifically classes, but there is a point in this day and age where everybody needs to know something about that, and the colleges are letting down because they aren't keeping up with the changes. And they say they are, but they aren't keeping up with the everyday living changes. They're keeping up with some of the insane stuff that isn't necessary. And I'm not saying we shouldn't do new and, quote, close quote, I guess, better things, but they get a little carried away, or a lot carried away sometimes. Anyhow, sorry. I rant on this.
That's okay. Anyways, a couple quick items. We got about 4 minutes left in the show. Again, 646-721-9887 if you'd like to participate. A couple more things that were in the provisions of the bill is protection against arbitrary interest rate increases. Cardholders who pay their bills on time should not be penalized. Protection from date due gimmicks. Protection from misleading terms. The right to set limits on their credit, which is basically over the limit fee that I was talking about earlier. Limited, again, excessive fees, limitations, and also protection from heavy subprime credit card fees for people with bad credit. Some of those fees can be up to 25% to 35% in interest rates.
Mm-hmm. And there are, I tell you what you can do, too. I know a place down the street that you can go, and you can get, you know, you don't have to even prove that you have good credit, and you can get lots of money. Of course, when you don't pay it back, they break your arms or your legs or whatever, but still, there's that place. And so it's available to you if you wanted it. And my point being that what's going to happen is no matter what they do to the rules or the laws or the whatever you want to call them, no matter what they do to them, all that's going to do is change the parameters of what the credit card people are going to do to you. You shouldn't have the credit card in the first place, but if you do, what this means is that you're going to have to learn all new rules and regulations if you wish to protect yourself. And if you don't protect yourself, then you deserve whatever they do to you.
That's true.
Well, I agree. I agree with you 1,000% on that one. And unfortunately, in this recession, a lot of people just to live are having to live off their credit cards because, you know, they've either lost their job or they are because of cutbacks. They just are not making ends meet, and so they're forced into a feast or famine situation. And the only
No, they're not.
It's called
petty. They should do exactly what we're telling them. What they should do is exactly what we're telling the government it should do, and that's cut back.
Yep, cut back.
Like, if you can't afford it, sell your house. And if you can't sell your house, give it away and move into an apartment or do something or move in with the neighbors. Things are going to have to be done to cut back. Living on the credit card cannot be done because this recession is going to last far too long to do that. They're not going to let you.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Wow, we're out of time already. I can't believe it.
Yeah, unfortunately, I have to agree with you on the recession. But anyways, if you have any ideas for topics, please email us at talk@caribbeanradio.com or you can visit our webpage at caribbeanradio.com. And we're, of course, more than happy to have your input about the show or any topics you'd like us to debate over. And again, we'll be back next Saturday at 10 a.m.
Bye.
Wow. Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.